with me in your Bibles. Go back there to the Old Testament. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. And today I'm going to call this message, Your Decisions Have Power. Your decisions have power. Now, I got to give you a little bit of a heads up. I'm not one that just picks a, you know, traditional message just because it's the holiday. You know, I will preach whatever I feel led to preach. But how many of you know, no matter what we preach, it always leads back to the resurrection of Jesus, right? And so I'll just give you a little heads up right now. I'm not going to preach on any bunnies. I'm not going to preach on any eggs or anything like that, but we are going to get into the Word of God. And today we're going to talk about the fact that your decisions have power. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, and we're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to go all the way through the end of the chapter, just about five verses or so. And we're going to look at what God said way long ago to the nation of Israel when they were coming through the desert and they had been through many enemies and many battles, and the Lord led them into the promised land, and he had delivered to them a really good opportunity and a real blessing where to live. God had a wonderful plan for Israel, but how many of you know they kept messing it up? They kept making the wrong decisions. They kept doing things that dishonored God, and eventually they got disqualified for that land. God said it was a land filled with milk and honey. He said it was a land full of blessing and opportunity for them. And ultimately, it was something that was going to bless the entire earth. Folks, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that what was written in the Old Testament to Israel is a reflection of what God says to us as well, that we are to follow that example and to make sure that we don't do what some of those Israelites did back then, because we don't want to be overthrown like they were overthrown. Folks, I'm here to tell you, there's blessing attached to your decisions, but there's also consequences attached to your decisions. And so we're going to look at both ways, and I'm going to give you, to start here, just some general facts about what we learned from this passage that we're about to read. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, not usually a chapter that's preached on Resurrection Sunday, but this is the leading of the Lord, and we're going to stick with it. And the Lord is speaking to Israel, and of course, he's speaking to us as well. He says, "See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply." There's God's desire for you. Live and multiply. The word multiply there doesn't just mean to have lots of children. The word multiply means to grow and to be fulfilled in life. And he says, "And the Lord your God shall bless you in the land where you go to possess it. But if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them," he says, "I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land where you pass over Jordan to go to possess it." He says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore," everyone say the next two words with me, "choose life." There's God telling us what he wants us to choose and what we can choose and what we can have by making the right choice. He says, blessing and cursing, life and death. He says, choose life. And I would urge you today to make that decision. Choose life. Every day, choose life. "That both you and your seed," or your children, "may live." Verse 20, he says, "that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for the Lord is your life, and the Lord is the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord promised unto your fathers," your forefathers, "Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give to them." And now we're going to go back up here. Let's go back up to verse 19. The first fact I want you to see here today, number one, is the title of this message. Your decisions have power. Your decisions have power. Do you see that there's power in your decisions? See, we got to remember this. So many times people think that we're waiting for God to make a decision. How many of you know God has already made his decision? How many of you know God made a decision for you 2,000 years ago to give Jesus Christ his son for you, and that in that decision, God decided that he wanted to save you, he wanted to bless you. Amen. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be redeemed from the threat of eternal punishment. He wants you to be blessed. The Bible says that he wants you to be healed. He wants you to have stability. He wants your children to be raised in the things of God. He wants them to be productive. He wants you to be successful. Amen. He wants you to have an eternal hope. How many of you know God's already decided he wants the best for you? James chapter 1 and verse 17, it says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no darkness, neither shadow of turning. God doesn't have any darkness in store for you. He's already decided he wants you to have the light. He wants you to have his power. He wants you to have his blessing. He's already decided. But the question is, have you decided? Have I decided? I want you to notice here in Deuteronomy 30 in verse 19 that the power of blessing and curses are in the power of your decision. The word blessing here, go to Deuteronomy 30 in verse 19. We will have it on the screen behind me. Notice he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. In your choice, in your decisions is the power of God's blessing, all right? And so notice this, the word blessing there, it means all peace. The word blessing, when you literally study that word out, the translation there for that word, it literally means God's peace, God's stability, God's prosperity. And it means literally nothing broken, nothing missing. God having a good plan and a good life that he has reserved. The Bible tells us over there in Ephesians 2:10, it says, we are Christ's workmanship, recreated in Jesus Christ to do good works that he has prepared in advance for us to do. Folks, don't try to seek your own plan and then ask God to bless it. Seek his plan because his plan is already blessed. But notice this, God's plan is not going to happen just randomly. You're going to have to make a choice. And in your choices is the power of either God's blessing, God's life, or the consequences of curses. Wow, God has already decided that he wants you to walk in the power of this blessing. But we have to remind ourselves the fact that this is also true, that our decisions have the power to bring curse-like living if we make the wrong choices. There are consequences for what we decide to do, all right? That word curses in verse 19, it simply means the opposite of blessing. Literally, that word curses there, it means to be cut short. It means not to live long on this earth. It means literally to go without, or to be desperate, or to be defeated or destroyed. Folks, there's consequences. When we make wrong decisions, we can bring destruction and desperate living upon ourselves. The power is in our choice. The choice of you having God's blessing, that's not God's decision. That's your decision. See, people have this idea that, well, maybe God will just put a little good here, a little good there. It's just kind of random. No. God has set blessing up for every single human soul. But the question is, will every human soul choose the blessing of God? And we know that the world overwhelmingly is choosing, making decisions, choosing a path that God did not ordain, that God did not choose. And now look at the mess that we have on this earth right now. The power of blessing is not God's choice for you. It's your choice for you. So let's ask ourselves this question. How many decisions are you away from? How many decisions away are you from turning your life around? How many decisions are you away from getting your marriage restored? How many decisions are you away from walking in God's highest and best? How many good decisions are you away from being a positive force or influence even on your grown children? How many decisions are you away from God turning your financial situation around or the situation with your children or whatever it may be? I tell you what, healing can be on the other side of a good decision. Are you here today? Yeah. How many decisions are you away? Are you from getting things right, getting stable and restoring your life? God has set those decisions before you. Stop waiting for God's power to fall on you randomly. Start making decisions in His direction, and you can do that today. We know this, that all blessing ultimately comes from God, but they are the result of human beings making the right decisions. It's not just random. Amen. Fulfillment, knowing God, having the peace to know that you can face eternity, sided with God. Folks, I'm here to tell you there's a lot more after this life than there is in this life. Your decisions matter. We could say it this way. Our lives are the sum of our decisions. Isn't that true? Of course, and unfortunately, there are times when, you know, our lives can be affected by the bad decisions of others. We know that there's times when people's lives are hurt because of the bad decisions that people do, you know, make and the things that they hurt people with. But folks, the good news is that no matter who has done what to you, no matter what lies in your past, no matter what hurts or troubles that you're facing, there are plenty of decisions to make that you that can take you out of it all, that can bring you up, that can bring you away from those things and give you a new life. Amen. We also can be helped by the decisions of others. Notice God told Israel, He said, make the right choice, choose life that you and your children may live. How many generations will be affected by your good decisions? Or let's ask ourselves this, how many generations will be affected by your bad decisions? We know that literally that our children and our grandchildren, they will look at our decisions and they will start to mimic them. They will make the same bad choices of our youth if we're not careful, if we don't give them a different example. And you, if you're here today and your children are all grown and you feel like it's too late to start making good decisions for them, no, it's not too late. No, it's not too late for them to see you make a change. Start to see the priorities in your life becoming that of God. Amen. So number one, we see this. The fact is there is power in our decisions. And here in just a few moments, I'm going to start getting specific about what kind of decisions that we can make. Maybe you're here today and, you know, you, and of course, we're always happy to see people at Christmas time, Easter time. But what if you start making a decision to be here all the time? You know, what if we stopped being part-time church attenders and started to be full-time with God? Because I tell you, if you have a part-time life with God, that means you have a full-time distraction somewhere else. Absolutely. What would happen in your life if you started giving some time to God first? What would happen? Yeah, our lives are the sum of our decisions. And here's a second fact we're going to talk about real quickly, and I've mentioned it already here today. God's plan does not happen automatically in your life. I'm going to say it again. God's plan doesn't happen automatically for your life. One of the biggest misconceptions in all of Christianity is, well, if God wants it for me, I'll have it. And if God doesn't want it for me, then I won't have it. That is a misconception. God has already decided He wants blessing in your life. But the question is, have you made the right decisions? His plan is not automatic. He's not just, well, I think I'll bless here or bless there, maybe over here, maybe a little there. That's wrong thinking. Amen. Oh, Oh, amen. God gave us all a free will to decide. If you're waiting for God to make a decision for you, He won't. If you're waiting for your life to just randomly turn in a different direction, it won't. If you keep doing the same things you've always done, you're going to keep getting the same things you've always got. But one decision for God can break that cycle. And when you start making decision after decision for the Lord, you start to build momentum in the direction for God to start moving things, changing things in your life. Hello, are you here today? Amen. We see this, it's not random. God gives everybody an equal chance based on their decisions. Of course, people are sometimes born into tougher circumstances than others, but God gives everybody an equal chance to make good decisions. Maybe their circumstances are tougher than others, but guess what? Those decisions can take them out of those tough circumstances, can deliver them from that life that they were born into. Has nothing to do with gender, has nothing to do with socioeconomics, it has nothing to do with race or creed or anything like that. If you'll start making the right decisions for God, things will start changing in your direction, in the mind of God, and He will start to apply that to your life. Amen. So we can say it this way, we're responsible for our decisions. We are responsible, therefore we know this, there is no excuses. God gives everybody a free chance to make the right decisions. So that means we're responsible. However, the good news is that there's also no limits. There's no limits what God can do in your life when you start making the right decisions. Folks, I had no idea what the Lord had in store for me until I started making right decisions. It was January 11th of 2002, and I was living a life, and I was, you know, a college kid doing a lot of bad things, you know, drinking hard, partying hard, doing all that stuff, living that life. And it was on January the 11th, a friend gave me a phone call and told me about how he had committed his life to Christ, and I knew I had been running from God. And so I literally put that phone down. I got down on my knees before the Lord on that day, and I said, Lord, that's it. I'm done from running from You. I take Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I know there's things in my life I've got to address. That was the first and greatest decision that I made, to invite Jesus into my life. And then a little bit later, I realized I was working in a job that made it impossible for me to be in church every Sunday. And so you know what I did? I quit that job. I went from making decent money to making very little money. But I was not going to be a Christian who is not going to be in church. I was going to worship. If I believed that God gave His only Son, then I was going to be there and nothing was going to come in front. I got into church. And then I knew I had to address certain addictions in my life. And I understood, I looked at the alcohol addiction that I had in my life, and I realized that it was not going to be compatible with the life of God. And so I made a decision and I put away alcohol once and for all. January 18th of 2003, because I drank all the time. January the 3rd, did I say the 8th? January 18th, 2003 was the last time I ever touched it. And folks, it was a good decision. It was a good decision. In January of 2004, I decided that I was going to be a tither, that I was going to honor God with a tithe, that I was going to come into the house of the Lord with a tenth of my income every single week. I'm glad I made that decision. The Lord showed me that I was going to have a pulpit ministry. But before I got there, He, you know, told me to serve in the local church. And long before I was ever the pastor of this church, I was a children's church helper. And then He asked me to serve and lead the music, which He delivered us all from that. And then the worst thing that could happen to me just in my mind in a social setting would be that I would play my guitar and sing in front of people. And I did that for almost 4 years here. And we survived it all. We survived, right? But it was something I didn't want to do. But it was a decision that I made because I felt that's what the Lord wanted me to do, folks. And then all of a sudden the Lord, you know, unveiled to my wife and I. You know, I had started pastoring, but I was still a school teacher at the time. And the Lord spoke to us and said, when you have kids, make sure your wife stays at home to raise them. That was God's word to us. I'm not saying that that's his command to you. And of course, then all of a sudden it was, we found out that we were pregnant with Timothy, and we found out on Halloween night, 2007. So Timothy, you were the biggest scare of our life. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It was Halloween night, 2007, and my wife was just offered this really fantastic job. She actually would have been the fourth in command in the largest employer in this entire county. And they offered her good money. Today, it's still good money. And this is, you know, however many years ago. And we got all excited. Whoa, we were only 27 or 28 years old at the time. We were like, oh my goodness, here we go. Wait a minute. Remember when we were in California and the Lord spoke to us and told us both at the same time that we were to raise our kids and do things this way? Guess what? My wife turned down that job. Until this day, we still don't make the money that we were offered then. But to this day, we are far happier. We have greater peace. How many decisions are you away from getting a life that's full of joy? Folks, I'm not here to boast. I'm not trying to be arrogant. But you can go back and you can look at your life and you can see where you made decisions for God and decisions where you didn't. And if you'll trace that time back, you'll start to see a path one way or the other. Folks, we're responsible for our decisions. But the good news is there's no limit to where God can take you if you'll start making the right ones. And here real quickly, the third fact here that we have from this passage is that we got to remember that most of what we see around us in the world is not the result of God's decisions. They are the result of man's decisions. Don't you look at this world and look at all the death in it. Don't you dare look at this world and all the crime and all the division, you know, and all the starvation and disease and believe that God made those decisions for earth. We got to remember that humanity has been given a free will to choose and to decide. And humanity has chosen a different path other than what God has for us. And because of humanity's bad decisions, death and crime, starvation, and some of those diseases are responsible for that. You know, the human decision side of it. Don't look at this world and think that everything you see is what God decided. Jesus told us in John 10:10, he says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God's got a better plan than anything in this world. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, you're there still in Deuteronomy chapter 30. We just looked at verse 19. Go back up to verse 17. And let's take a look at verse 17 and 18. We will reread these verses. The Lord speaking, he says, but if your heart turns away so that you will not hear or obey, but you shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, the Lord says, I denounce you unto you this day that you will surely perish and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land where you possess over Jordan to go to possess it. And so we know this, there's consequences for the wrong decisions. Folks, we are living in the days and the times when people want to act like there's no consequences anymore. There are consequences. Folks, there is consequence for not choosing the Lord in his ways. Go back up to verse 17. He says, but if your heart turn away so that you will not hear, but if you're drawn away and worship other gods, he says, I testify to you that surely you will perish. Now notice in verse 17, he says, if you're drawn away and worship and serve other gods. Now folks, when we hear that, I about guarantee that there's very few of us here today that are setting up little shrines and statues and building little altars at home to false gods. I don't think too many people are sacrificing chicken eggs and burning incense to some false god. Maybe you're sacrificing a Chick-fil-A sandwich here and there or something. Right? But I mean, too many people, they're not setting up little false gods and shrines and getting down and kneeling before some little statue in their house. But folks, the word gods here, lowercase g, lowercase G-O-D-S, a god can be anything in your life that you are serving in front of the Lord. We act like, well, we don't have any other gods. I'm not worshiping. I'm not, you know, kneeling before an altar of some little statue or something like that. Well, maybe that was something in those days, but in our days, gods can be anything that come in front of the Lord. Anything that we serve over him can be called a god. Folks, let's ask ourselves the question, what are our gods in our life? Your gods, if you're not careful, could be your possessions. Is it wrong to have nice things? No, but it's wrong to serve them over the Lord. It's wrong to put more time, more effort, more money, more of yourself into your possessions than it is the things of God. Oh boy, it sure got quiet in here. Gods, your God could be an addiction in your life. An addiction is something that just keeps bringing you back to the wrong thing over and over. And you're brought back to the power of that thing controlling your life. You know it's something that the Lord has told you to put down, but you don't put it down. And you keep serving it and you go back to it and go back to it. You are more faithful to an addiction than you are the things of God. That thing is now your God. Your God might be a relationship. Your God might be a relationship that you have with somebody, but it's not set right in the eyes of God. Folks, I'm going to say some things today, and your faces might get dismayed. But the Lord told me to not be dismayed at their faces. You could have a relationship. You could be having sex out of wedlock. And the Bible says that that's a sin. And that now that relationship is now founded upon sin and self-indulgence and self-pleasure. And now you're opening the door to a curse later in your life. The Lord says if you practice that kind of living, it could destroy your life. Oh, come on now. Your relationship might not be founded upon God. It might be founded upon, you know, all these other things. Ask yourself this question, whoever you're in a relationship with, whether you're dating or what have you, ask yourself, are you pursuing God together? Are they helping you go further in God, or are they preventing you from knowing the Lord? Oh, your gods could be an addiction. It could be possessions. It could be a relationship. Your God might be your politics. Your God could be your politics. Folks, here, let me just reiterate something that I say all the time. I'm not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I'm a man of God. We're living in the days and times where people will only call out the wrongs of the other side, but they will not call what's wrong even when it's on their side. If the one you voted for makes mistakes, meaning if they sin against God and they make decisions that are wrong, guess what? It's your job to call them out. Your job isn't to just believe hook, line, and sinker anything that your side says is good. You understand? People are now believing, they're taking the doctrine of political parties and they feel like they have to, you know, align their personal beliefs with them. Don't you adopt philosophy from a political party that is against the will of God. I don't care what party, I don't care what politician, if they embrace abortion, I'm against it. I'm against it. Say, well, Pastor, you know, political parties now are endorsing homosexuality. Now I'm really going to make somebody mad. But the Bible says it's a sin. It's a sin. Say, well, Pastor, oh, you're condemning and you're a hater. No, I'm here to tell you that no matter what sin it is, whether it is homosexual promiscuity or heterosexual promiscuity, they're both sin, they're both against the will of God, and both need to repent. That's right. Don't take and believe the philosophy that's going around this world that there's more than two genders. I'm here to tell you there is not more than two genders. There is man, there is woman, and marriage is between only one man and one woman, period. But Pastor, my political party, I vote for this, I vote for that, I vote for that stuff. If you're not careful, your politics will be your God. I don't look at a party to see what party is going to make me the most money. I look and I cast my vote for those that are most as closely aligned with the things of God as possible. People that will protect the sanctity of God's word. Folks, please, do you know the Bible says that anyone that practices drunkenness will not enter the kingdom of God? Sometimes, or the Bible says that there will be no liars. You know, we act like, you know, homosexuality is the only sin that God's going to judge. Listen, you can be heterosexual and can be completely out of the will of God. And the power of God can redeem and save us from any sin. So there's mercy. God would call anybody living in that lifestyle, come on out of that lifestyle. Know the will of God, repent of your sin, confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and He will save them. Whether somebody's into that lifestyle or maybe a promiscuous heterosexual lifestyle. We all have decisions. We all have to put things away. Oh boy, are you here today? Pastor, I just wanted a poem about bunnies and eggs. I don't hand out poems here. I preach out of this. People say, well, Pastor, that's old school. We don't think that way anymore in our culture. Well, guess what? This will be here long after our culture is gone. This has always been here. It will always be here, and it is not going away. The Bible says that God's word is forever settled in heaven. Amen. Say, oh, what a hater. No. If I tell anybody on this earth that Jesus loves them and will forgive and wash any sin that they're walking into, that's not hate. That is love. See, if you think love refuses to tell somebody that they need to change, that's not love. That's why kids grow up disobedient. That's why, you know, people, you know, go astray because no one had the courage to lovingly sit down and say, hey, you're on a path that's going to lead to destruction. You're on a path that's going to lead to destruction. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God's mercy is available to anybody and everybody. When I came to Christ, I knew that I couldn't stay the same. I knew that there was decisions to be made. I knew I wasn't judging others, but I certainly had to judge myself. I knew and understand, well, that my wife and I, we came, of course, when we started dating, we did not know the Lord. And we were living in a relationship. We were living together. And we came, you know, started going to church, and we started to realize, wait a minute. God says that our physical intimate relationship without marriage is wrong. And we looked at each other like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Are we going to act like it doesn't say that? Are we going to go through the warning signs? Or are we going to make a tough decision? We said, well, wait a minute here. We're going to get married. And we of course, were already engaged. And we knew that it was months away until we had to get married. And we looked at each other like, well, what are we going to do? This has got to stop. We made the decision to put an end to intimacy until we were married. That was a good decision. I know that there's things that has occurred. We're, you know, coming up on 20 full years of marriage. It's been heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. And I don't say that to boast, but when you make decisions that honor God in your finances, in your family, in your marriage, in your business, in your life, God's blessing will show up. Doesn't mean that there haven't been plenty of challenges in my life. There have been. But I'm here to tell you, make a decision for God. Make many decisions for God, and watch his blessings start to flood into your life. Ask yourself, what is your God? Is it your political affiliation? Is it your possessions? Is it your addiction? Your gods might be your business or your money making. You might be obsessed with it. You're so busy that you have no time for God, but you have all the time in the world to make money. God's not against you making money. He just wants to be first in your life. We can spend our whole lives building a business, but then we're never in church. If you're not careful, your own past can be your God. I see a lot of Christians that all the time, they're so wrapped up in the hurts of the past. They're wrapped up into who they were back then. But the Bible says, if any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Paul the Apostle said in Philippians 3:13, he says, I don't count myself to have arrived. He says, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which be behind, and I press forward to the calling and the prize of Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, there's no answers for you in your past. In your past, you might have been a victim of something. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, but we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You're not a victim anymore. You're more than a conqueror. Any of those hurts and those pains, he's going to wash that away. He's going to give you another life. Amen. Some people will just try to live in their past. And we try to make excuses. Well, I'm the way that I am because of this in my past and that in my past. Listen, God is certainly compassionate. And we know that a lot of atrocities could be committed against people in their past. But I'm here to tell you, staying in that past has no answer for you. I'm here to tell you, God's got a better future. God's got a better day for you tomorrow than he has for you today. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. Brighter and brighter. Folks, whether we live 120 years on this earth or whether today is our last day on this earth, there is an eternity to face. And when you face eternity, you want to stand there with as many good decisions under your belt. Are you here today? Wow. Maybe your God is your past. Or maybe your God is simply yourself. You just might be sitting here because somebody obligated you to be here today. And yet, on the inside, you have no intention of ever doing anything more for the Lord. Maybe you sit here today and you say, I don't want to spend the time. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do right. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to have to change. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to study. I don't want to do anything different. If that's you, then you are your own God. You are the thing in the way between the blessing and the Lord himself. Folks, I remember when that was me. And if we're not careful, we can all fall into times of selfishness. No doubt we all have. I know I have. I know none of you ever have. None of you ever have. I pastor, for our visiting friends, I pastor the most holy, perfect church on the face of this earth. So I'm just striving to get to that level where everybody else is at. But I've had times of selfishness. How about you? If we're not careful, our own selfish desires, we refuse to give of our time. We don't want to do that. How many Christians have just told me, I don't go to church Sunday morning. Are you kidding me? That's my sleep-in day. I'm not doing that. I'm not, no way I'm going to be there. How are you going to feel someday when you stand in front of the crucified Lord and he says, I said in my word in Hebrews 10:25, I said to not forsake the gathering of Christians together, and you forsook it. And will you say on that day, oh, Lord, I had to sleep in. People said, I'm not going to give him my time. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. But folks, what I'm here to tell you, we can either have the day of blessing or the day of reckoning. Let's make it the day of blessing. Let's make some choices. Let's make some decisions. God said, I've set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. He said, choose life. Choose life. Go to Joshua chapter 24, and we'll get over here and we'll get ready to wrap this up. Joshua chapter 24. What am I saying here today? Your decisions have power. Your decisions right here, right now, will affect not just you, your children, and future generations. What legacy are you going to leave upon this earth if Jesus doesn't come back? Folks, I don't know about you, but I've decided I'm going to leave a legacy of obedience. Do you know the obedience of my great-grandparents is still working in my great-grandmother, or maybe my great-great-grandmother? The obedience of my grandparents is still active and alive in me. The obedience of my parents is still active and alive in me. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think of my grandparents, godly grandparents. Their obedience marked me. The Bible talks about Abel way back, the offspring of Adam and Eve. It says, Abel, yet being dead, he still speaks. His legacy is obedience. His legacy is good decisions. His legacy was that he was the one that put God first and Cain was the one that denied God. Are you Abel or are you Cain? Cain was banished and he was removed. And when we hear his name, we think evil. But when we hear the name of Abel, we think of righteousness and faith. That's his legacy. Go to Joshua 24, verse 14. Good decisions. But pastor, what does it matter? What does it matter if I drink? That's a good question. What does it matter? Can anything good come out of it? Can anything good come out of it? Why take the risk? What's it matter? Because God said no. Go over there to Joshua 24. Say, pastor, you're being tough. Don't take it up with me. I'm the messenger, and I'm happy to be the messenger, and I believe it. I believe the word of God. Joshua 24, verse 14, he's speaking to Israel again. This is actually before the time in Deuteronomy, or excuse me, after. And he has now led them through many victories and taken them into the land. And now he says this. The Lord says this to Israel. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord. The word fear means to reverence him. Ask yourself that question right now. Do I reverence God with my decisions? Do I reverence him? Folks, that's why I turned away from getting drunk. That's why I turned away from using profanity. That's why I turned away from pornography 22 years ago and never went back to it. Not one time. Not because I'm trying to follow a rule with God, but I want to reverence him. Put some reverence in your life. Put reverence in your home and watch what he'll do for you. God is good. Now, therefore, reverence the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, oh boy. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Everyone say choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Or we could say it this way. Choose today what you shall serve. And who. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But Joshua says this, but as for me and my house, say the last phrase with me, we will serve the Lord. Joshua says, God will let you live like the Amorites if you want to. God will let you live like the gods of your forefathers, meaning all the false pagan gods. He says, he'll let you go live that evil. How many of you know God's not going to stop you? He's not going to stop you from doing the wrong thing. He won't stop you. He gave you that choice. He'll let you live that life. He'll let you stay the way you are if you choose it. But I tell you what, if you choose him, then his power is going to be open to you. Joshua's making the right choice. Life is too short to do anything else. Folks, there's too much at stake on the other side of this life to do anything else. Some people say, well, I'm young and it doesn't really matter right now. You don't know if you're young or old, so to speak. Because if you don't serve the Lord, your life might be incredibly short. You don't know what percentage of your life you've already lived right yet if you're not serving God. You have no idea. The Bible just says when you choose a different way, your life may or may not be cut, you know, at one length versus the other. You have no idea. But go back up to verse 14. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth. There it is. There's the instruction. I could have just read that verse and we could have gotten to the potato salad a lot quicker. Right? Get to those mashed potatoes and ham. You know, there's a reason why ham is a traditional Easter food, but we won't go into that. There's a reason why. We won't talk about it here today. Because you think I made people mad so far. Ooh, boy. Don't talk about the pork. Not that it's wrong to eat ham, by the way. Don't mess with my bacon, right? No, you can eat all the bacon you want. Well, maybe not all the bacon you want. But you can eat bacon. You can eat ham. Praise God for redemption. Thank God for the New Testament. Hallelujah. But verse 14, he says, now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth. There's the whole sermon right there. He says, and put away the gods which your fathers served. He said, put these things away. Put them away. I believe the Holy Spirit is going to make known to each of us today the things in our life that we've got to put away. When I started to serve the Lord, I understood I had to put that drinking away. I had to put some of, you know, relationships had to be put away. Folks, notice this, that your decisions have the power to put away the wrong gods in your life. Oh, my goodness. Another way to say it is we can throw those things away. Throw them away. Make a decision what and who you're going to serve. Every single one of us have things that are in the way that we've got to put away. It takes courage. It takes faith. It takes desire to step up and make the tough call. Who in here is going to have the courage to stand before God and say, Lord, your light has shined upon me. I understand the things in my life that are lacking and need to change. And Lord, I'm here to deal with them. I'm here to confront those things and make a better decision. Man alive, I remember when my flesh was crawling and it just bothered me so much, the decisions that I had to make to be faithful to God. I'm glad I made them. I'm glad I made them. Listen, the Bible says that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. God can give you a life. God can provide you a marriage. God can restore your kids. God can move in your life if you'll start making decisions for him. Yeah, maybe it's going to cost you something. Jesus said in Mark 10:38, he said, he that does not bear his own cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. We think that the only cross is the one he carried. Meaning, what are you going to do to sacrifice your own flesh to serve God? The Bible says in Galatians 5:24, it says, he that is Christ has crucified his flesh and the lusts and the passions thereof. Your mind and your body are going to want to do plenty of things that God has not called you to do. And you see and you recognize those things and you start to make decisions away from the wrong things and towards the right things. And Joshua says this, but as for me and my house. Notice Joshua didn't just say just me. He said me and my descendants. Me and my children and my grandchildren. We are going to serve God. If God likes it, then I'm in. If God doesn't like it, then I'm out. Joshua was making his choice, and he was choosing life. Folks, the greatest choice that you will ever make is the choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Folks, because I love you, I have nothing in it personally, meaning I'm not telling you this for my sake. I'm telling you this because I love you. Folks, there is a heaven. There is a hell. There's the hell to shun. There's a heaven to gain. And you have no doubt already seen how fast this life goes. The Bible says in the book of James, it says this life is a vapor. It will go so quick, but yet it is by this life that all eternity is judged. Folks, our time, no matter how young, you could be a teenager here today. Time is still short. You could be in your 80s or 90s. Time is still short. It doesn't matter. This life is going to come to an end, and there is an eternity after it. There is an eternity. The Bible says that all men, all human beings have sinned and therefore fall short of the glory of God. Our sins might be different, but the result is still the same. He says, you know, over there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have all sinned. What is sin? Sin is simply a crime against God, meaning we break his law, so to speak. And when we break his law, we now, of course, what happens when you break the law? Right? Punishment, consequences. But the good news is that God said, I don't want you to be punished. I don't want you to be sentenced to death because of your sins. So what he did is he sent his son, which the Godhead is made up of three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us that the Son came to this earth. He took on the flesh of a man. He was condemned to death to die as a criminal under the Roman system 2,000 years ago. And of course, he was innocent of it all. There was no sin found in him, but yet he was nailed to that cross as many criminals were. He was hung on that cross like a criminal because he was paying for the crimes that you and I committed against God. His blood was shed, he died, and the Bible says 3 days later, he rose again. That by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he rose again to show this earth God's love, his mercy, his eternal hope. Amen. That when Christ came up from that grave, and by the way, those 3 days, what was Jesus doing for those 3 days? The Bible says that he was in hell suffering like a sinner. What was he doing there? He was suffering like a sinner because he became one on our behalf. And then 3 days later, he rose again. And when he came up again, you know, when he rose to life, he was without sin, showing to us that if you'll confess him as Lord and Savior, his resurrection will be yours. And God will look at you from every day forward as if you have no sin in your life. What a redemption. What a salvation. But the question is, will you choose that life? Will you choose to believe? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. God will say, look, they're just simply confessing their faith. How do you get saved? How do you make heaven your eternal home? By believing in your heart and simply saying there's no ritual you can do. There's not enough candles you can light. There's not enough money you can give. There's not enough water baptisms to be had. Those things are all good and fine, but those things don't save you. How you get saved is you come to the Lord yourself and you say, Lord, I confess my sins. I believe that Jesus died so that I could be saved. I believe that his blood was shed to wash my sins. He took the punishment that I deserved. And now, Lord, come and be my Lord and Savior. And when you do that with simple, sincere faith, God will grant you eternal life. And when we truly believe something, if someone gives their life for you, I believe sincere people will always live a life of gratitude. Any decision I make for God is just simply done out of gratitude. See, it's easy to turn away from the wrong things when you're grateful. When you're grateful to be saved. When you're glad to be saved. And so, folks, the Bible says that before us is set a choice. Life and death, blessings and cursings. I say, choose life. But more important, God says, choose life. Folks, in a moment here, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make that choice. Today, I'm not calling you down front. I'm not walking up to you. If you respond, I'm not going to point you out. This is between you and God. But I'm simply right there in your seat going to give you an opportunity to make Jesus your Lord. What we will do in just a moment is that I will ask you to close your eyes and bow your head. And then what we'll do is, you know, we'll pray. And then if you want to pray and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will simply, you'll hear me say, just lift your hand. And folks, when you lift your hand, I'll see it within a second or two. And I'll say, I see that hand. You can put it down. It's just a step towards God. It's not for my sake. The raising of the hand does not save you. But I know this. I want to know who I'm praying for. So if you're here and if you never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, or if you're uncertain about your eternity, folks, get certain. God loves you. Man, I'll tell you what, life is too short to be just caught up in everything else and forgetting about God. Don't forget about Him. Let's put Him first. Let's give our lives to Him. Folks, it's not about our institution. It's not about family church's name. This is not our idea. This is what the Bible says. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your kindness and your goodness. Lord, we see that you already made a decision. You already decided that you want us to be saved. You want us to have your blessing. You want us to walk in the plan that you have for our lives. Father, I understand that when I say these things, that there may be people right here in our midst that get upset, they get angry when they hear these things. But Lord, you know more than anybody. I'm saying this because I love these people. Father, I say it because you love them more than I ever could. And Father, you have good in store for us, but the choice is ours. Lord, you set before us blessing and cursing, life and death. And you said, choose life. Father, I believe that there are those today that are going to choose life. Father, we pray right now that your Spirit would speak to the hearts of those that are in this service, those that need to respond, those that need salvation. Father, we pray that you would deal with them right now in their heart. And right now, if you're wondering what I'm talking about God dealing in your heart, listen down in your gut. Is the Lord dealing with you? Do you just sense on the inside that you need to respond to this invitation? If so, that is God reaching out to you, telling you, choose life. If you're here today with all eyes closed, all heads bowed, if you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if today's the day that you want to invite Him into your life, if you want to confess Him sincerely as your Savior, here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. The moment I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this entire congregation in a prayer, and we all will be praying at the same time. And right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anybody here within the sound of my voice that you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I know that I need to be saved. I know that I need to confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Is there anybody else before we pray? I know sometimes people are like, well, what's he going to do if I lift my hand? Well, you've already seen what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have you put it right back down. Is there anybody else? Maybe you're here and today you've made a decision in the past. You decided at one time to call on Jesus as your Savior. But maybe you've walked away from serving Him. And today you want to rededicate your life to Him. If that's you, could you lift your hand? Is there anybody? I see that hand and that hand and that hand and that one and that one. You can put those hands down. Is there anybody else that would say, Pastor, I know I need Christ as my Lord and Savior. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. God loves you. God loves you. You know what this life comes down to? To decisions. There's decisions being made today that will weigh upon eternity forever and ever. There's decisions being made today that will affect generations to come. This world needs more godly individuals that have put the Lord first. Is there anybody else before we pray? They say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Anybody else before we pray? Father God, we see several hands either to get saved or to rededicate their life. Lord, we thank you that you're dealing with hearts. Lord, we know and understand that there's decisions to be made and there's things that we've got to confront in our life. Lord, I could have prepared a poem. Lord, I could have told a sentimental story. But Lord, if we did, nobody would have walked out changed. Father, you're so faithful. And now, Lord, as we pray this prayer, we mean it with all of our hearts. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your mind. Everyone's going to be praying right along with you. You're not going to be singled out. Pray this with all the sincerity that you know how. Let's all go ahead. Let's all pray this together. Everyone say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. I will live for you. I will obey you. I will seek to please you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get something out of that here today? Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Folks, I cannot tell you how good it is to see you on a Resurrection Sunday. It's wonderful to see, you know, faces, you know, people that are visiting here. Folks, we love you. God's got a plan. And you know what? If you just made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, get into a Bible teaching church. Folks, we can confess salvation. However, it doesn't transform our life until the Bible, we do what the Bible says, and that means to renew our mind. It says, be not conformed to the image of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is over there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. So folks, and again, if it's not here, find a Bible teaching church. Amen. Get into the Word of God and see what he's got for your life. Let's go ahead. Let's give him the praise and glory today. Father God, we just bless you. We praise you. We thank you. Father, we just command your hand of blessing upon each one here today. Father, I pray for each family that, Lord, that they would choose to serve the Lord. And Father, that you would bless their time with family and relatives and friends today as they celebrate. Father, bless their meal, bless their time together. And Lord, we just give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name.